Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Earth's Final Warning radio program. I'm your host, Brian DeLore, and I will be here with you for the next 15 minutes sharing with you from the Word of God. And today's topic of discussion is the Beast of Revelation 17. And this is perhaps one of the most controversial and difficult subjects in all the Bible. There's been so many different interpretations rendered about these verses of Scripture I'm about to share with you that it really is very tough for the layman to come to a complete and understanding of these verses. Because there's so many different interpretations and opinions floating around on the internet that it's just very difficult to come to a conclusion on any of it, except for one thing. God's Word provides the answers. So we don't have to struggle and rely on men for the answers to these to this subject and about these verses of Scripture, because God has provided us with an answer. And the answer lies, of course, in Revelation chapter, Revelation chapter 17. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and read. Wow, there's so much material to cover here. I would think it would be best to make this sort of an introductory study. There's just no way that I can cover all this material in 15 minutes. So this is an introductory study, and just call it part one. And it's going to take me at least one more program to complete the study. So we're going to get right down to it here. Revelation chapter 17. Remember now, John wrote the book of Revelation in approximately AD 95, and he was on the Isle of Patmos being persecuted for his faith when he received this vision from the Lord Jesus on the Lord's Day. And so he's having this vision, and you can only imagine what he must have been thinking, and all that was going on must have been just really overwhelming. I can only imagine how I would feel. And so here he is, it's Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And he says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." So we come to this beast of Revelation 17, and we don't encounter the beast right away. First, we encounter this woman who sits upon the scarlet-colored beast. And there is a general consensus among amongst most scholars that this woman is basically false religion, and that she rides upon the scarlet colored beast, and she, of course, most people believe, yes, it's false religion, but it's somehow tied to the Catholic Church in Rome. So that's pretty much what I believe. There's really no reason to believe otherwise. This is a mysterious being, and it says that it goes back to Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, if you go back and read, oh gosh, I believe it's in Genesis chapter 11. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong about the chapter and verse, but you can look this up when I'm finished with the program if you so desire. And this has to do with Nimrod. When Nimrod, Cush beget Nimrod, and Nimrod was a mighty hunter, and he began all these false religions. All false religion leads back to Babylon. Remember, Nimrod wanted to build the Tower of Babel. Jesse Duplantis says he only imagined it. He and all the people with him, it was only in their imagination that they did this. But if you go back into history, secular history, you'll find out that a Greek historian by the name of Herodotus, you also find that King Nebuchadnezzar, both visited the ruins of the Tower of Babel. So that must have been some imagination, these people. It was so powerful that they could actually create in the physical realm with their imagination. Now, I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but these are some of the stuff that people teach, particularly someone like Jesse Duplantis, who owns the largest house in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And how do I know that? It's because he writes about it all the time. Anyway, that's not the case concerning Nimrod. He was a man who did not worship God. He was into all types of false religion. And so this is where all false religion began. And then it goes on to say, I'm trying to speed through this. John says when he saw this woman, she was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Then the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. And this is what I'm coming up to next. But something else we need to take note of here, that John didn't pull these interpretations out of thin air. They were given to him by an angel. An angel sent from God to guide him through this vision. And so the things that have been taught after prayerful consideration by these Bible scholars, these wonderful Bible scholars who have just done such a fantastic job in rendering the interpretations of these visions, you know, they were guided by the Spirit of God, just as John was guided by the Spirit of God to write them. This is, you know, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God inspired this book to be written, and he provided the interpretations of the book when necessary. Remember, the Bible is supposed to be taken literally unless it's obvious that God is saying something to us symbolically. And so in many times in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, angels got involved in the visions and gave to the one to whom the vision was dictated the interpretation of things. And so that's what's happening here. And he wondered with great admiration, and the angel says, I will give the interpretation of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So imagine, if you will, this woman riding upon this beast with seven heads and ten horns. Now, we've established pretty much that the woman is false religion. Remember, there's a couple of other things I need to point out about this woman. Remember, she's decked in scarlet, purple and scarlet, and she has a, She has a, okay, never mind, that didn't work out too well. I'm going through my tabs here, and I'm running into some problems. Here we go. All right, so she was wearing scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So she is, these are all symbolic of the Catholic Church. These are the colors that the cardinals in the Catholic Church wear in war at the Vatican Council. You know, the Catholic Church is a very wealthy religious organization, and so that's why it says she's decked in precious stones and pearls, nothing but the finest for the Catholic Church. And the next thing we know, that this woman is riding this beast with seven heads and ten horns. And then the angel goes on to say that the seven heads of the seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth. And the seven mountains described here are not the seven hills of Rome, as some believe and teach, but rather they are seven Gentile empires which have ruled over the earth for the last 6,000 years or so. So the first one of those empires would be Egypt. The second one would be Assyria. The third one would be Babylon. The fourth one would be Medo-Persia. The fifth one would be Greece. The sixth one would be Rome. And the seventh one will be the kingdom that the Antichrist rules over, which he eventually eighth head. And this is stuff I'm going to have to get into later on, because I only have a minute and 56 seconds left in this program. But anyway, this woman, this false religion, has ruled over every Gentile empire that's been in existence. So that's what this is indicating here. That's what's being indicated in this vision. So, and we know that this religious harlot is empowered by Satan. And so that's why she's so closely connected with the beast so much, to the point that she's actually riding it. She derives her power and strength from this beastly being, and she has killed the saints, you know, and all of the Gentile empires persecuted the children of God. They always have, and it will be no exception in the tribulation period, which John is showing us here, which John is indicating here. These things are happening, are going to happen, rather, in the tribulation period. And unfortunately, I am just about out of time, and I greatly appreciate you all tuning into the program today. I will be back sometime in the next 2 days with part two of the study, and of course you can study a lot of this yourself. And I hope this message has been a blessing to you. And until the next time we meet, I leave you with this reminder: keep the faith and defend the truth. Have a good day, everybody.